Hi there, and welcome to the C10 Podcast, where we mainly talk about leadership and mentoring in 10 questions with change makers, mostly with ties to the Kansas City area. This is all part of the Sea of the Major Leagues Foundation, and specifically a tie-in to our C10 Mentoring and Leadership Program. I'm Matt Folks, Executive Director of Sea of the Major Leagues, and usual host of this podcast. I'm honored that you've chosen to listen this week. Thank you so much. Now, let's get into this week's conversation. This is episode 132 of the C10 Podcast, and this week you're going to be hearing from two of the mentors in our C10 Mentoring and Leadership Program, as you hear from Jen Fesco and Jim Unruh. Frankly, I guess you're going to be hearing from three C10 mentors, as Al Wallace, a longtime Kansas City sportscaster, leads this discussion. This was recorded on Wednesday night, September 6th, in front of our students and mentors at Music Theater Heritage inside Crown Center here in Kansas City. We actually recorded four interviews that night, so you can hear the first two this week, and then the next two will be in a future episode. But what we like to do is show our students in the C10 Mentoring Leadership Program, high school students, that regardless of what they're thinking they might want to do now for a career, or regardless if they're getting stressed about not knowing what the future might be, we want to show them that, A, we have tremendous resources in C10 through the mentors. We want to show them what leadership looks like in various fields. But we also want to show them that what you want to do now, or what you think you're supposed to be doing now, or when you go to college, if you go to college, doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be what you're doing as a career. First up this week is Jen Fesco, who, yes, if the name sounds familiar, she does happen to be the wife of Bob Fesco, a morning host on 610 Sports Radio here in Kansas City. Jen became a C10 mentor during our second year. But here's the great thing about Jen. Many great things, but specifically that's going to come out during part of this interview is this. Jen was paired with a student in her first year. The student didn't return for a second year. We then paired Jen with a new student in year two. Well, that student didn't return for another year. So keep in mind, in both of those cases, we knew the student might be challenging, but Jen, based on her background, her job, she was willing to take him on. And as would be human nature, I think, for most of us, Jen started questioning her ability as a mentor for C10, at least a little bit, after that second student and second year. I promised her, though, that she wouldn't have that issue with her third student. And she didn't. It was a perfect fit. Jen and her third student, Alyssa, bonded quickly. They were together for 2 years during Alyssa's junior and senior years. And Alyssa excelled in C10 under the tutelage of Jen. So much so that she was selected as a member of the C10 Student Leadership Council last year. And this year, as a college freshman, Alyssa is back as a mentor in training. By day, Jen, who's the mother of two teenage girls, is a high school teacher. With that, Al Wallace, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Matt. We're going to start with an old-timer. Can I say that? Is that fair, an old-timer? And that's from C10 terms.
It's amazing to be an old-timer because you really see how it's progressed in the 5 years and how things have really started to change and come full circle. And you also see the progression of the students in their time at C10, and I think that's the best part.
You've got that unique perspective. As you see these young students join this program, what do you see the evolution of some of the first-year students being? What are some of the challenges that you have seen them have and then overcome?
I think a lot of it has to do with whatever they've been dealing with outside of here and at school, being a teacher, working in the alternative setting for the last 8 years and now switching over to elementary. You see these students come in and they have maybe a chip on their shoulder, or they just don't think anyone cares about them, or that they're worthy of whatever is coming towards them.
Everything hasn't been perfect.
No, really nothing's been perfect. You know, and all of us have these different issues, and sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can't. And I think when they come to C10, they are all having some experience that they might not have cared for, and they want to come and learn, and they want to listen, and they want to grow, and they learn about leadership and just ways to make themselves better. And I think a lot of kids don't take the opportunity, you know, to do that. Like Matt was saying, you know, I have these two awesome girls and they were great. It just wasn't the right fit. And they weren't taking it seriously enough to see where C10 could take them. They had other stuff going on and we understood that. But I'm also the person who says, like, you're taking a spot from someone else. And there are people waiting to be a part of this program because they know the benefits of doing that.
I asked you about the students. And if anyone, any mentor knows about students, I would say that you do because you teach. What put you on that path to be an educator?
So it was like 7 or 8. And, you know, we used to play school in the basement.
You're a kid, 7, 8 years old.
I'm a kid. With my sister and my cousins, we went to Ohio every Christmas and summer, and we would play school. All my cousins, there was like 9 of us, and I was always the teacher. I wasn't even the oldest, but I was the bossiest. And
nothing new.
Right. And so I just always knew I wanted to help. So when I was in 6th grade, I went down to the kindergarten classroom during my recess, and instead of going out to recess to play, I would help them learn how to read. And so it was just like one of those things where I wanted to help. And then going into PE and sports and everything, I was an athletic trainer, started in middle school, and then in high school, like, I started our training room because no schools had athletic trainers. So I learned how to tape and do all that. And so it's really funny to, like, kind of see it come full circle, because obviously I have the teaching and the sports background, and combining that, an athletic trainer in college. So it's just, you know, you take a look at what happens, but it's just one of those things, like, I just kind of always knew I wanted to help students get ahead. And for PE, I was always scared about performing, but like playing sports. So I lived in Chicago till I was 7, and then we moved here. And I would fake a sprained ankle on the playground.
You faker you.
I know, because I didn't want to miss the ball, because we just always played on the playground. We didn't do like organized sports. And then one day they're like, we'll help you or whatever. And so I started doing that. So when I really thought about a profession, knowing teaching, but then PE, I would have been a music teacher had I not been a PE teacher, because I just love to sing and act and dance and do all that. But it was, I don't want these kids thinking that they can't do anything just because they don't have the skill, they might be overweight. You know, I just wanted to show everybody that they could do something if they participated. So that was just kind of always in my blood. My mom's was a teacher. My aunt was a teacher. So
I feel strongly the fact that every mentor here understands your connection with teaching and your passion for it, because I know you come in sometimes and you may have a story here or there.
Oh, yeah.
about your day teaching.
Right.
And when we see the headlines across the country, how important education is and how much teachers are challenged in some ways that most of us can never imagine. I want to segue from the challenge of teaching to the challenge of leadership, because those two are related. But if anyone might know a difference or two about those two words, teaching and leadership, it would be Jen Fesco. So leadership, what does that mean to you as a teacher?
It's really hard to talk about it, because unfortunately in the teaching world, I have not had any good leaders. No good principals, no good bosses. Even people,
you say, no, that's a strong statement.
Yeah. I mean, really there's not, you know, you have a lot of people that are higher up that have never had kids. And they're in these roles with 500 kids in their school every day.
Yeah, that's disheartening. Yeah, that's not easy to...
Right. Or they've never been teachers. Say they've come from a business background, they know how to run a company, and they're an assistant superintendent of HR or whatever it might be. So that's not where I learned my leadership. I mean, obviously, working in sports, you have people who are CEOs, but I learned more from, say, Trevor, who's grounds crew and leader of that whole crew.
Leader.
Or, yes. Or it was the kind of the management team for the ushers. Leaders. They have a couple hundred people on staff.
Yeah, we're talking about the Royals at the K.
Yes.
Just to give our audience here, our listening audience, a background and understanding of what you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. So when I worked at the Royals, I knew every single person's name, whether it was an usher, someone in maintenance, someone who worked in the copy room, someone who did our graphics, every single department.
You made that effort.
I made the effort because I wanted them to see me as a good leader. But also, if I needed something done, or like with Aramark, who provides the food, I'm like, they were supposed to have the whole chicken tenders platter out and nothing's in there. Then they would just go and get it for me, no questions asked, whether the money had been paid or not. So when you're making those connections, even though I'm a lowly person working in group sales and marketing, you know, you see that and you want to be with those top dogs in each of those different areas.
Those leaders.
Those leaders. And so that's where I gain my leadership from. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the teaching realm. Because I think anyone, it's so hard to say this because I don't want it to sound bad, but I think a lot of people think they can teach.
No.
Okay. And obviously, you know, teaching yourself.
Challenge.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can, I don't want to say that either because then I'm using the word. You can have a PowerPoint, and we've all been in meetings. So like when I worked in the corporate world or sports, you have this PowerPoint, and the number one thing they tell you is that you are not supposed to read off the PowerPoint. Well, how many of your bosses do that? How many of your presenters do that?
I raised my hand, by the way. Yeah.
So that's just one thing. So it's just one of those things. Like, I think leadership is how you develop it as well. It's how you see it. It's how you put yourself in different roles so that other people see you as a leader versus just having to go someone all the time. Like, I loved my boss at the Royals. He's amazing. My fourth grade teacher was amazing. The old cliche, I mean, my parents, you know, mentors and leadership. My dad was not a professor, but he acts like a professor. Like, that's how he talks to me. He's always teaching me something. And so you take little snippets from that. Mm-hmm.
You use what you can.
You use what you can. Yeah.
And be who you are. Jen, my final question to you, and it'll be the final question to everyone we interview tonight. Go back in time and you meet a 17-year-old Jen Fesco. What do you say to her if you can tell us that in 10, 15 seconds?
Things change. You got to roll with the punches. Sometimes you end up where you started, but sometimes you end up where you needed to end up. But sometimes it's backwards and it circles around.
Everything happens for a reason?
Yes. I'm still waiting for my Division I men's basketball director of player personnel job. I'm waiting for Terry Nooner to ask me to come to Wichita State.
Jen Fesco, everyone.
This is J.R. Buckner, President and CEO of First Federal Bank of Kansas City. We hope you're enjoying this week's conversation. For this week's Student Spotlight, I'd like you to meet one of the students in our C10 Mentoring and Leadership Program.
My name is Manny Dunn from Bishop Ward, and C10 is making an impact on my life by helping me better my communication skills and helping me become a better leader.
First Federal Bank of Kansas City is proud to make a donation this week to the Post-High School Scholarship Fund for seniors in the C10 Mentoring and Leadership Program. If you'd like to join us in this effort to give our future leaders an opportunity after high school, please click on the link in the show's notes. Now back to this week's conversation.
Up next is Jim Unruh, who's in his third year in C10. On a fun side note that I told the group during that C10 session, I've known Jim and his wife Janice since I was in high school about 34 years ago. Long time ago. Jim and Jana, who were fresh out of college at the time, were involved heavily in our church's youth group. More recently, let's take this full circle, two of their four kids are close in age with two of our three kids, and they were all in the same youth group together. So it's come full circle. Jim is in management with Colliers International here in Kansas City. With that, once again, here is Al Wallace with Jim Unruh.
Truth be told, I spent a few minutes talking to Jim last week.
We did.
We talked about a couple of different things. And among the things I got out of that conversation with you, Jim, was the fact that, to me, you've got Kansas City in your veins. You really like it here. Am I right?
Do. Yeah, it's been a great place for our family to grow. I have four children, and my wife and I, you get all four seasons. You're in the middle of the country, so you get to the coast pretty quick. But frankly, it's the people. The people here are genuine, and they talk to you, and you walk down the street. And it's wonderful to be a part of that.
Jim, you have not been with the program that long. A couple of years, right here at C10. What kind of coercion did you have? What kind of invite did you have to become a mentor here at C10?
Yeah, I remember Matt was kind enough to extend an invitation to me. And the Folks family is a big deal in our household. As Matt said, our kids all line up together. His dad is a wonderful leader. And so when he starts visiting with me, I kind of, you know, get my act together and get focused. And he was telling me about this program, and I really got excited about it. I'd spent some time through the scouting program with my sons and doing some other things.
You're talking about Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, that kind of thing,
yeah. And so this was an opportunity to jump back in and be involved in a program where you can have a relationship in a mentoring capacity. So, yeah.
You are a manager in commercial real estate. I think I know what that is, but I'm wondering if some of our students are knowledgeable as to what that is.
Sure.
So, explain away your role as you work in management in commercial real estate.
Be glad to. When you walk around the city or drive around, you see all these office buildings or retail shopping centers or industrial buildings. And those are owned by individuals or a partnership or an institutional owner like an insurance company. And they hire folks like us, third-party managers, to keep them leased, keep the grass mowed, the janitorial services in place, do budgets, produce financial reports, work with architects to design space, mortgage bankers to refinance, lawyers and attorneys on drafting leases. So I love this job, Al, because you are touching so many different pieces of the community when you work with real estate. It's been something I've been blessed with ever since I got out of college.
Commercial real estate, true English, is businesses and not a home.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. These are businesses and not multifamily or apartment. I had a really good mentor when I first got in the business. His name was Tom Congleton, and he was a developer of Corporate Woods. It's a beautiful office park in a park-like setting. And it drew a lot of tenants and a lot of businesses, and a very kind gentleman that took me under his wing and showed me what respect looked like, and a guy that did things right and didn't cut corners. So I've kind of held on to those principles as I've developed my career.
You mentioned a couple of things that I would identify as core values. Mm. You had a guy take you under his wing.
True.
You mentioned leadership. You mentioned family. If you could kind of melt some of that thought process into what you want to do as a mentor here as you work with young people, talk about that a little bit.
Sure. What I really enjoy is what I might call actually the 11th C, and that is being collaborative, where you're working together in teams, you're trying to pull people out and get their expertise on issues. And on the teams I'm involved in that I love to see here is you get around people that are experts or have interest in things that you don't have. So you end up building something bigger than yourself. And I clearly see that with these mentees here and seeing the majors.
That was a big word, collaborative. Mm. I think it's interesting, number one, that you use a word like that. Number two, I've never heard of an 11th C. And I'm, you know, it's C10, and I don't know why there's not 11. But I like that a lot. So you're in your second year here.
I am, yeah.
Talk about your path a little bit with C10 and how you've kind of grown a little bit and kind of got to know the program and what you like to bring to the table when in your connection with C10.
The first year was clearly a learning experience, and I'm thankful that Manny put up with me that first year, and he came back the second year as I got more familiar with what goes on. But it has a pace and a cadence, and it's well thought out with Matt at the helm and you, Al, and people like that, and it really seems, in my mind, I'm watching these people progress to a point where they can develop leadership qualities and get ready to take that next big step, which is college. And that's exciting, to be a part of a young man or a young woman's life when they're in the process of making those decisions.
You mentioned that you have kids.
I do.
And what are some of the things that you have taught them that's a family sense? Mm. This is a family, but it's not blood,
yeah,
right. So what are some of those things that maybe you see in your kids that you taught them that you like and you maybe want to bring here and teach?
I know that tradition in my family when I was a kid was a big deal. So
the traditions of holidays, the traditions of what you guys did during the summer.
College. Yeah, you go to KU. I'm a third generation Jayhawk.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. But I missed out on that whole opportunity of looking at schools and taking campus tours and then, you know, applying and getting rejected and getting an acceptance letter. It was just, you're gone. And so with my kids.
That was a mandate.
It was. It was pretty much
Yeah, mandatory. You're going to go to college. You're going to go here. Right. You're going to go to this school, Kansas.
Going to that school through JUCO for the first year because It was said that I wasn't quite mature enough to live on my own up there at KU. So all of us went to JUCO, and then
someone was being nice
on up to KU. Yeah, but with my kids, I wanted them to experience that, and I think you guys are experiencing that. From what I'm hearing, you guys are doing these campus tours, and you're trying to run through connections you have, and so all of my children, and none of them are going to KU, and that's okay. Because they picked a place where they wanted to go and thrive, and I feel good about that they have that opportunity, so the tradition has been broken.
Okay, we're going to bounce this off tradition, and we'll go to our final question here, the 17-year-old Jim. Now, you've talked about your family tree, going from your kids to your grandfather,
right,
who I believe you told me played football and basketball at KU.
He did.
First of all, how old were you when you saw your first game at Allen Fieldhouse?
I think I probably was 8 or 9 years old.
And what year is this?
Oh, boy. That would have been mid to late 60s.
Your first game at the Fieldhouse.
Right.
And you knew at the time, or did you know that this is where I'm going to go to school if I take the career path
to
college?
It was starting to form at that time, okay. Yeah.
So you're 8 and 9 during that time. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, 17-year-old Jim Unruh. If you could see him today and say, hey, buddy, come here. I got some advice for you. Mm. What do you tell him?
I would tell him to be present and to be in the moment. I wasn't that way when I was 17. To me, you felt like we're all in this dress rehearsal phase for when we're adults. So when you're on the football field and somebody misses a tackle and the coaches are in a rant, I'm kind of like, we're practicing to play a game here. And so I didn't take things as seriously as I should have. And maybe I got through a few things that way, but I could have done better at that. And
you realize that you look back.
Yeah. There's this group from the 70s, Pink Floyd, if anybody's heard of them. And they were out on tour last year. And the theme of their tour was, this is not a drill. And I firmly believe that's probably what I tell myself.
Were you a Pink Floyd fan back in those days?
Or? Indeed I was, yes.
Jim Unruh, Pink Floyd fan.
Thank you.
Well, that does it for this episode of the C10 Mentoring Leadership Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we hope that you'll leave a favorable review on your favorite podcast platform. If you didn't enjoy it, or you have other comments or suggestions for potential guests, you can click on the comment link in the show's notes. We drop a new episode at the end of every week, but be sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an interview. And if you or your company would like to help underwrite this podcast, let me know. Until next time, this is Matt Foulkes for the See You in the Major Leagues Foundation saying be safe and take care.